6000 for 10,000.
270, climb to 12,000, South 1063.
I guess we'll see, but I don't believe it's real. I just don't believe it's going to happen.
It's all a smokescreen. Rocky Thompson's going to get promoted.
Oh, God, fucking Rocky goddamn Thompson. If they don't fire him when this season comes to an end, I will be fucking baffled.
I have a theory about him, too. Well, it's more, I guess, about the power play just generally. Like, when you have, obviously, the Flyers... No, they don't have enough skill on offense to execute a power play in any way, shape, or form. But the problem is, like, when you start to get your coaches acknowledging that and just throwing guys out there because they know nothing works. And I forget, there's been a lot of
talk. Hold on, I just put that quote in an article the other day. Let me see if I can find it.
Yes, please do. Please do.
Rocky Thompson, well, our power play stinks. He, in reference to Gerionov. He's a good power play guy at one point in his career. It's not going to hurt our power play because it's not good anyway.
Yeah, like, yes, thank you. That's exactly what I'm referring to. Like, when you have that kind of mentality from your coaching staff, I think it has an impact on the players. Like, hey, the coaches know that we can't do this. So, like, if
the guy who's
fuck
in
it
charge
up,
of the situation realizes that we all fucking suck.
Yeah, and I don't blame, I mean... All right, the coaches are right. I'm just not sure.
I mean, he's not necessarily wrong, but you can't say that out loud.
You can't say that loud. I think it creates just a vibe on the team, and that's also been something that's been perpetuated here. It's just a vibe on the team. It's like, we know we don't have enough skill, so let's just go out there and do our thing, and if it doesn't work, who the fuck cares? Because we have other ways of winning by playing collectively good defense
and being an
opportunist team, and you know, we'll have TK score off breakaways, and then we'll win that way. Like, which is a classic Torts type of team, and also something that I didn't want this to happen with this team. I wanted, you know, high-end talent to be the foundation and just the whole rebuild to be structured differently than this. And I think this is one of the things, this is one of the negatives that happens when you try to rebuild a team like this, is you turn them into a team that really just plays the same way against every single opponent, has no ability to adapt, and just... has offense is discounted. Hey, we don't have a power play, whatever. We're never going to have a power play because we're not going to have guys good enough for it. So we got to figure out how to compensate in other areas. And I'm not interested in seeing a team like that, but that's what is happening here with these guys. And that's interesting. You know, Rocky Thompson's comments kind of sparked that in my head.
I was going to say, like, theoretically, like, everybody talks about skill on the power play and everybody's right. But like on it, to the layperson, one team has five skaters, the other team has four. So theoretically, the team with five should be able to pass the puck around, generate, get the puck into dangerous areas, and create offense. But it doesn't happen with this team. And it's because the defensive player, the penalty killers on the vast majority of the teams out there, are as good defensively or better than the offensive gifts that our forwards have, which is not really the ideal recipe for building a contender per se. Like a lot of people, and I understand that, listen, it's the honeymoon phase and everybody's rah-rah. And listen, I do think that the Flyers are pretty much going to make the playoffs here.
Yeah.
They're whether or not, like, do I think that they can beat Carolina? No, but I think that they'll make it tougher than people think. The problem is going to be teams win or lose series. It's special teams.
Yeah.
It's the power play. If the Flyers can get more than three power play goals in that entire seven-game series, they got a real puncher's chance. But something tells me that that power play is going to sputter and sputter, and then you're going to be on the losing end of one goal games or two goal games, and that's the reason why you're going to get eliminated. That's the whole thing. That's why this team's not ready for prime time. It's fun and it's exciting, but I mean, the power play will dictate how well they do against more heavily favored teams.
This will be the third consecutive season that the power play finishes dead last in the league. And Thompson has been responsible for two of those years.
So what you're telling me is that speaking of culture, somebody gave me a stat that apparently Japanese businessmen apparently have sex on average with their wives about four times a year. So that means that on the bright side, they score more than the Flyers power play does under Rocky Thompson. Would you agree?
Statistically, yes, I believe that's fairly accurate. Yeah,
that'd be a hell of a
too
way
much
to
math
fire Rocky.
For me.
That'd be a hell of a way to fire Rocky Thompson. Rocky, Japanese businessmen score more than your fucking power play. Get the fuck out of here.
I just, God, it's. I mean, Thompson clearly doesn't know what the fuck he's doing. I mean, that's painfully obvious. But my God, this team is not built to score on the power play, but they should be doing it with much greater consistency than they have. Three consecutive years of the worst. I think it's like 13% right now or something like that. 13.4%.
It always looks bad too. It just looks terrible.
You've got nothing. And all these people are like, oh, Morgan Frost turning into a power play guy. And I'm like, I mean, he's fine, I suppose, but my God, anytime, you know, they just had this stretch against Florida, these top teams, and you watch their power play, and they're just lethal. They just move like a machine, you know? And even if they don't score, they make it work. And the Flyers just don't have any of that. I mean, they've got so far to go here, and it's hugely personnel-based. And I don't know how you do that. I mean, Reinhardt would be a great move. Stamkos in free agency. I don't know if either one of them should make it to free agency. You know, they circled around Chychrun, who has some level of power play success in Ottawa. You know, but man, it's just they need to overhaul that entirely. They need to find like five or six players exclusively that have power play reps so you can make the first and second unit worth something. And I just don't. I don't know if they're going to do that. And again, this is just a massive problem of just not scoring goals. They want to play their defensive penalty kill style of hockey, which is great, and it gets them to the point that they're at now. But, man, scoring goals in general has been a motherfucker for this team. And if your power play is essentially worthless, you're not scoring. Yeah, as many alluded to, they're going to go into the playoffs here and face Carolina, and it's going to come down to special teams. I think these two teams are fairly evenly matched. The difference is Carolina's got a much more potent offense, which will probably come through on the power play. And, you know, maybe if they lose in grand fashion in part because of the power play shit, maybe they have a chance to, hey, we got to go into the summer and actually change things. But yeah, this is like priority number, especially with the goaltending now taken care of, theoretically, with Fedotov and Kolosov. We'll see if that actually pans out. But, you know, power play and goal scoring becomes priority number one again. And they've got 19 of 23 players under contract, including all 12 of their forwards. So it's not like movement comes easy anyway. But yeah, this is something that needs to be seriously overhauled for this team, because it's just goddamn pathetic right now. Three consecutive seasons of dead last numbers. Insane.
I'd be interested to see, speaking of bringing in new players in the offseason, I think DeMarco had a tweet recently that he's pretty confident that they're going to make a hard play at a young 1C. I'd be curious to know who is on that list. And like, I haven't really, I mean, aside from like the Zegras stuff, which we've talked about a lot, but who else is even in the realm of possibility? Because I think it's clear as day that that is a major need. And it's also very clear to me that this team, with the way they're operating, thinks, and it's not just because they're overachieving this year, but they think that they're further ahead in this rebuild process than I thought they should have been. But if they're going to take that position, I think they need to get moving here and bring in some other players that can complement what they have. And that starts with getting a young 1C who's in his early 20s. And I'm not sure what that list is, but DeMarco had some sort of tweet to that effect that was interesting, because at least one of the insiders with the team is saying that, so it gives me a little bit of hope.
You know, he's tweeted that quite a few times over the last few months. Like, they're aware that they need center depth. And I'm always like, well, that's great. Like, I'm glad that the front office is aware they don't have enough offensive talent. I would assume anybody that's been watching hockey for more than 10 minutes can probably come to the same goddamn conclusion. This team is piss poor down the middle, especially. You know, but man, this is, again, I'll entrust him to add anybody. And outside of Zegras, you know, it's a little too early in the year to have a better scope of who's going to be available in the summer. But outside of Zegras, there's not a lot of options. You know, your top two free agents are Reinhart and Stamkos, who are both essentially playing wing at this point in their career anyway. I would hope that they address center with some kind of legitimacy this summer, because they really should. But you know, every time, yeah, I saw those series of tweets as well of, you know, they need centers.
Please.
And I'm like, yeah, I'm glad that they can realize that. But realizing it versus actually capitalizing on it and making a move and trying to add a top set, completely different fucking story, putting in the footwork to get there. And, you know, as every time I talk about this topic, I always note it by saying that this is not necessarily a Briere problem. This is a Flyers have done nothing over the last 15 years when it comes to adding a big name problem, you know. So there's no recent track record of them doing stuff. So yeah, I'm glad that they have a realization that they lack talent. I'm glad they've the collective brain power to come to that conclusion. But if, you know, are they actually going to work on it? Are they going to go out there and do what they need to do and give up the assets and the money to actually add somebody, whether it be Zegras or somebody even better?
Yeah, I think that's all power plays. I mean, that relates to power play directly. You know, you get those guys, and it changes the whole dynamic of kind of what you're doing there. And you're not just, you know, playing musical chairs with everybody on the team gets their shot on the power play. And it's just like, at this point, it's an embarrassment, because it's just like, what are you doing here? Like,
saw a tweet earlier today during the Montreal game that apparently Ryan Poehling was on power play one tonight.
Oh God!
There you go. Problem solved.
Yeah. See, like, he's their overtime specialist.
But that's the whole thing. Since we're exactly like that. That's another thing with the fucking overtime and putting out Cates and Poehling with Sanny out there. Like Sanny, Sanheim, I get, but like fuck, you've got two like defensive guys, and then Poehling's been a decent offensively this year,
and he was injured
sure.
that game too. Yeah,
but it's like, oh man, like Noah Cates out there for overtime, like it's 3-on-3. How much defending do you plan on doing? Like in a 3-on-3, like a skilled team will keep the puck away from you. You saw the Rangers do that. They won that face off and it's like, you guys aren't touching the puck. The only way you get this puck is if your goalie stops it, and then, you know, you recover the puck and send
playing
us
for puck possession in 3-on-3 is a horrible strategy.
So no, and to me, that's what makes the 3-on-3. It is exciting, but there are times where teams just play for the possession.
Yeah.
And both skate the puck past the red line, and it's like, fuck, man. Just like run and gun. Like,
LaPerriere loves that strategy in Lehigh.
There should be like a zone clock in OT where like the team that has possession has to get it into the offensive zone within a certain period of time.
I believe
like
they were talking about
15 seconds or something.
Last summer, rumors popped up that they wanted something like that. If they went back once or twice, a penalty or something like that, or some kind of zone time or something to prevent teams from doing that. Because, yeah, it totally kills the entire point of 3-on-3 OT in the first place.
I like the idea of using like the basketball thing of no over and back. So once you cross that red line, you're not going back across that red line again.
Yeah.
Like you got to keep it in that half of the ice.
That'd be interesting.
You know, cause then like teams just like they go and then they go back to their own net and it's like, Jesus, man. Like, can we,
it's like half of the whole period there. It's like, it's like almost 2 minutes. And it's like, what the fuck? Yeah. Yep. No, I agree. Yeah.
The overtimes work when it's back and forth, like an amazing chance and then an amazing chance the other way. And then it goes back like that. That's when the game is like, wow, like it's riveting stuff. Like it's edge of your seat stuff. But
they should at some point. God, this would be funny. So like, instead of decreasing the amount of skaters, they should allow like each team to have like 11 skaters at a time and just see what happens for like 30 seconds.
Just let everybody run into each other.
Yeah, like 18 guys on the ice at once on each team.
But before we end on the power play, there's a tweet that keeps coming up, and it's multiple people saying this. So it's not a retweet or anything. But I've seen people all say, imagine if we had like an average power play. Where would the Flyers be in the standings? And it's like, yes, but that is the paradox. That is the whole problem, is you need the talent to get to that type of power play.
Yeah.
And then that power play, yeah, then we would be one of the top teams in the league. But the thing is we can't get the talent because you don't bottom out. You don't draft high. You keep going with this blood in the stone. We got to be competitive and win all the time. And listen, it's working for them this year. I don't know. I don't think that they're going to fall off dramatically, but I could totally see the team, you know, I could see, you know, the Devils or, you know, making a comeback or somebody, you know, somebody else in the Metro maybe jumping up. I don't know. And then like, where are you? Like if you make the playoffs this season and then you miss the playoffs by like 5-6 points next year, I don't know. I don't know what people would think about that, or if they just fall back to the, well, Briere knows what he's doing and it's a rebuild.
Yeah. I mean, oh God, this is what it, I don't trust them to build. They need to actively take steps forward this summer. And I don't believe that they're going to do that. It's just this complete, they need to fix the power play, but you got to add talent. They need to upgrade their forwards. They can score, but they don't, you know, they need to upgrade talent. They're so focused on guys like Nick Seeler and Ryan Poehling and putting their stock in these depth guys in the penalty kill. And like, it's a strategy and it can be a successful strategy, but you still need goal scoring. You need the guys that can come through in these situations. There's no reason they're losing to the goddamn Canadians right now. You know, there's just no reason for it. They need more, and it's just, I don't know if they're going to do it. I don't really believe, we use the Elias Pettersson example for. If he left Vancouver, the Flyers would need to trade for his rights and then sign him to an $11.6 million AAV contract. Would they do either one of those things? Are they actually going to trade for Trevor Zegras this year? No, I just don't believe. And everyone's already under contract. You got, 19 players that you're under. It's just, they're so stagnant. And I'm afraid that they're going to go into this summer, pat themselves on the back for a job well done, that they made the playoffs and everything's gravy from here on out, and just run it back in its entirety. And it's probably not going to work twice. And if, best case scenario, they're about the same thing. They're a bubble team that barely makes the playoffs in the first place. You know, there's just, they're not going to grow from where they are right now without the influx of talent to do so. And I don't trust them to add the talent to do so. So they're just stuck in their own quicksand.
Well, they're kind of squandering, and we kind of mentioned this a couple of weeks ago. I they're squandering a golden opportunity to reset everything and to have an opportunity to just be bad for a while. And, but they're not taking advantage of that. I mean, they are so burdened. If they buy out, like we talked about the other day, about buying out like a Cal Peterson and Atkinson, and the contract list goes on with the dead money. They have so much dead money and bad contracts going on. The Couturier contract, the Ristolainen contract,
Sanheim.
The Sanheim contract. Like there's a lot of bad money that's tied up right now. And while that is paralyzing you, which it is, and it's prohibiting you from really going out and signing guys to big deals, or assuming you can get them in the first place, but or making trades to bring guys in and give them deals. I think their contract situation, their cap situation is prohibiting them. Why not use this era of Flyers hockey to get or give yourself a chance to get those players at the top of the draft? Because you sure as hell aren't going to be able to do it with your salary cap structure. And a lot of that is from prior regimes, but I think they're just wasting a golden opportunity to just be bad for a little while it's acceptable, and then reap the benefits of that later in time.
One of the things also on the topic of just DeMarco tweets, you know, he often hints that the Flyers don't want to rebuild properly. They want to rebuild on the fly. Mm-hmm. Essentially being that general managers are scared of becoming the Sabres. They're scared of becoming the Coyotes, of being in that kind of perpetual bottom state, and it's a hole too deep to dig out of easily. But when I think about that, and it's not necessarily impossible, but it takes a level of stealth that I don't think the Flyers have. You got to go in, be relatively bad for 2 or 3 years, and then you got to be willing to add your prospects to the lineup, work them in, develop in pretty quickly, and then add outside talent to bolster what's left. So you have the members of the hangover, the core, you know, the Farabees and the Couturiers that have been here for fucking ever. You can build around them, insulate them with the prospects and the outside talent, and you're good to go. And it's a 2 or 3, 4 year process instead of a 10 plus year process. But, you know, and the theory is, well, the Flyers have been rebuilding for 3 years now, you know, which is one of the popular Flyers Twitterisms, which is technically true until they lost Cutter Gauthier in the first round, in which case that's a complete bust, and Michkov's still trapped in Russia for 2 years, so those drafts don't even matter. You know, I don't think it's an impossibility, but I just don't, like, then the Flyers sit here and commit to Nick Seeler for 4 years. They sit here and, you know, have no interest in trying to get rid of Sanheim's contract because he's so fucking critical back there. Mm-hmm. You know, there's not that stealth factor of being able to get things done in 3 or 4 years and overhaul things. You know, they're not incorporating all of their prospects. You know, Forster made it while everybody else got fucked this year. You know, there's
they're reactive and not proactive.
Exactly. They're not actively trying to build through what they're doing. They're just kind of trying to stumble, building a team from this middle of the pack group, which is the same thing Ron Hextall tried to do for 4 years and failed miserably, which is a big reason why the Flyers are where they are right now.
And Fletcher.
Yeah. And Fletcher. It's just like, I get the theory of not wanting to tank and rebuild and tear down to the studs, even though I would still be fully on that thing. Because I think you can do it, because the thing with the Sabres and the Coyotes, they had such unattentive ownerships, where they tore down to purposely tank, especially the Sabres that wanted in on McDavid, and they just didn't do it. They drafted Eichel, they had Reinhart, and then they never capitalized on them. And they left, and yeah, they had to get rid of them for more assets. And then now they have, you know, Dahlin and Power and Paterka and all these guys, and they're still not incorporating. They got to add the outside talent. They need those guys to make it work, to insulate the prospects. Like, I think they're finally kind of getting right on the right path again, because the talent is too good for them to fail this time around. But it's just, if you had a general manager that was smart, I think you could still tear down properly, get 3 or 4 really high top 5 picks that you could build a franchise around, and then still kind of get out of the mud in a reasonable amount of time. The problem is, like, the Flyers haven't had that, and the most extreme examples of Sabres, like the Sabres and the Coyotes, the Coyotes don't give a fuck about winning. They never have and never will. You know, it's you can point to teams like Chicago that seem to be doing this right. And, you know, they're very early on in their process. We'll know for sure in a few years, but I don't know. I just don't like the idea that you have to be, that, you know, they're rebuilding on the fly. Again, I don't think it's impossible. I just don't think this is the front office and the regime to do it, because they clearly are too attached to the culture. We can't get, are they going to trade Konechny for first round picks? No, they're going to re-sign this guy for $10 million a year for 8 years. You know, that's the kind of decision making that is the difference between being able to rebuild on the fly and just committing yourself to be a mediocre team forever. There's no end goal here. They want to be competitive and be in a bubble team. That's all they want to do. Yep. They're not doing this to rebuild. Just fuck off. I'm so tired of that word.
Yeah, and I think that hit it on the head, Dan, in terms of the situations in Arizona and Buffalo have been far the exceptions, are highly distinguishable based upon ownership and a host of other variables as well. But then, you know, if you're going to use those as the thing, oh, well, those are the worst case scenarios, we have to stay away from worst case scenario. Well, then the worst case scenario with what they're doing now and what they've done historically is, one, you're the Flyers of the Hextall Fletcher era, or you're the Minnesota Wild, or you're the New York Islanders. Like, do you want that? because that's the worst case of what happens when you do this rebuild on the fly bullshit and you stay in the middle and have no shot of doing anything.
Yeah.
So in my opinion, you've already tried that, Flyers. You've already tried that for years and multiple regimes, and it got you absolutely nowhere. So we see a blueprint that tends to work in this league. Doesn't work all the time, but it has a track record of working. Why not try that? At least freaking try it and see what happens. That's my thing on it. And I think that if you live your life scared of being the Buffalo Sabres or the Arizona Coyotes, then you shouldn't be in this business. Like, you should go and manage people's mutual funds, because that's where your mentality is. Like, you need to take risks. You need to figure out ways that say, hey, we're going to take a step or two back in order to take three or four steps forward later in time, and use that kind of thinking and formula to build your team. So I just don't think that that kind of mentality works when you're managing a professional sports franchise. Oh shit, if we're Arizona, you know, we can't even think about doing anything that they've done because that's so toxic. Like,
yeah.
I just don't think that's the right way to think about it.
Yeah. I mean, the Coyotes are an interesting case because they've got that whole relocation arena, all of that noise in the background, and that affects their ability to get
play in Arizona State
agents. Yeah, like it's pathetic. Like I'm just trying to look at their roster here from when Rick Tocchet was their coach. They finished fifth in the division. I'm trying to get, it was 1920. So you look at, they had Chychrun, Lawson Krause, Christian Dvorak, Ekman Larson, Goligofsky, Grabner, Taylor Hall, Barrett Hayton. Like, that guy was supposed to be a really good player, and for whatever reason, it just hasn't worked. Like, that sets them back. So, like, there's an error there with drafting, because they just drafted, like, that's their Nolan Patrick, essentially. A guy that just didn't work out the way that he was supposed to work out. They had Kessel, Darcy Kemper, Clayton Keller. You know, it goes on and on and on. And if you keep going, like, even if you go 2 years later, like, how many of those guys would still be on this roster? So Rick Tocchet's still there, and then he's gone, and it's Andre Tourigny as their coach in 21-22. And they've got, Jay Beagle. Okay, they got Chychrun, Krause, Christian Fisher, Barrett Hayden, Keller, and Kessel. So a bunch of guys left. And then they got, Louis Erickson. Great. God. Alex Galchenyuk. Shane Gostisbehere.
Oh, yeah.
Like they've got just like, where is their turnover? And where, like, it's basically the same team. They're missing Ekman Larson, and they're missing, like, you know, one or two guys here or there. But essentially, it's the same. And there's no real significant ads where you go, oh, wow, that guy came into the league then. Like, that thing with their arena, that's a really poor comparison, where we don't want to be the Coyotes. You can't be the Coyotes. They're like, they're being threatened to move, like, every month. People are saying that they're going to go to Quebec City or Utah or Houston. Like, I'm sorry, but teams can't function like that. If you're thinking as a player, you know what, my family's going to have to sell the house and we're going to have to go buy a place in Houston. We're going to have to find schools in Houston. We're going to have to go and do that. Like, it's harder.
Yeah, they've had just so much turnover. And yeah, it's really just a highly distinguishable situation for sure.
Buffalo is more comparable, I'll admit that, but they've been at, like, a coaching carousel, a GM carousel.
Yeah,
yeah, they've had issues at the top of the pyramid, which you have to have that solidified in order to have a good roster.
And that's the one thing where I would say that the Flyers, I think, would be doing it more right, is they've made it perfectly clear that Hilferty is the chairman. And he's kind of setting the tone with Briere and with Jonesy. And you know what? They're not going anywhere for the foreseeable future. Like, those guys are here for at least another 4 or 5 years.
Probably.
Like, guaranteed.
Right? I would think so, yeah.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, there's a stability there. You can't keep changing the front office every 2 years when your team misses the playoffs and expect that things are going to get better, because it takes time to implement, you know, a plan and a vision for what it is that you want to do.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think the Sabres are like – I don't think they're – I get it's a worst-case scenario, but there's a lot of factors there, as with the Coyotes, that – point them in that role. And you know, the other idea that we don't want to build around young star talent, we want to build around Nick Seeler. You know, just fuck off. What kind of strategy is that?
And then also there's like the, you know, the, oh, well, there's a business side to this and our fans, you know, are people paying for this and they need to see a good product on the ice and all that crap. And it's like, look, I'm one of the only people that probably does Flyers podcast that's actually been a season ticket holder for an extended period of time. And I've been through that whole dynamic of what it's like to pay a lot of money for a team and do what they did under the Hextall and Fletcher eras. And I can tell you how infuriating it is to see that every single year, and the stagnation and the lack of creativity, the reactive, but just all the negatives with that. And I'm sick of that shit. Like, I'd rather take my chances and take a couple steps back for a few years in order to rebuild this the way that other teams that have been highly successful have done. I'm willing to take that chance. But like, as a paying customer that's paid probably more to go to games than all the other podcasters who get in for free and all that shit, like, I've felt that dynamic. I understand that dynamic. And I can tell you, I don't want to see the same status quo shit that we've seen in terms of rebuild on the fly. I don't want to see that anymore. I don't pay for that anymore. I've gone through that. So like, I want to try something different. And if, you know what, we suck for a couple of years, or we turn into a shit franchise, which I don't think is going to happen because it's highly distinguishable from the others, then you know what, so be it. But at least we tried something different that has a proven record to get you to the promised land, versus what they're doing now is simply trying to be the exception to the rule. And that's something that I don't want to support anymore with my dollars.
One of the theories that was popular around the trade deadline was, well, the Flyers can't sell because the season ticket holders need it for the postseason. They deserve a postseason run. And I'm just like, you know, I am not a season ticket holder. And that's the thing is, if you're a season ticket holder, do you want one playoff round, you can watch them get curb stomped by the Hurricanes? Or do you want to take a step back for 2 or 3 years, make a concerted effort to actually build this time, not just linger in fucking mediocrity like Hextall and Fletcher did. Actually attempt to rebuild and build and grow and do something this time. Like, and have 10 years of potential cup runs, you know, versus a one-off playoff appearance against the Hurricanes where they get curb stomped. Like, I just feel like that's not a good enough answer right now. The business would be more successful, you know, partially in, you know, reinflating your attendance after a lot of bad years. What happens if they fall back next season? Like, the interest, you kind of reinflated it, you know, artificially for a minute, but if it falls again, like, it's going to fall hard because you got stabbed in the back yet again for the third straight general manager. You know, I just feel like...
And you're, like, everybody would accept it now too. Like, if they, like, if they just suck for a little while, like, everyone's pretty much okay with that. It's like, hey, you know what? This team's in year one of a rebuild. We know it's going to take a couple of years at least to bring in some notable players. That's fine. I think the vast majority of people would be fine with that at this point in time. Like, they don't need to be so scared of that.
I think they were. I don't know about anymore. Mm-hmm. I think people have.
Yes, they were. I think
way too hard to drink the Kool-Aid. But I think when Breer took over and when Tortorella was using the word rebuild, I think people were on board with the idea of a real rebuild. Now, not so much. Yes. Now they've convinced themselves that rebuilding is fucking making the playoffs and, you know, building with Nick Seeler and shit like that. But, you know, when this took over, yeah, I think they could have gone through a real legitimate rebuild and everybody would have been on board with it. But nope, they blew their opportunity again.
See, and that's where I think that we would be a little bit different. Like, ideally, if they were able to secure a 1C in the top 10 of next year's draft, because they kind of took a step back and missed the playoffs, and maybe they win the lottery and they move up like 10, you know, 8 spots or whatever, and they draft like even 6th or 7th, but they get their 1C because next year's draft is supposed to be heavy with centers. I would actually be really excited about it because then you'd get that 1C. Then you got to wait like one more year after that and Michkov potentially comes over. Then I'd be like, all right, now this is like something. Because at least if you get that 1C, I can see that there's pieces around that they can actually try to make a little bit of a run or be really competitive if they really wanted to. Without that piece, though, like if they go next year and they're still a bubble team and they make a wild card spot next year, and then they're drafting, you know, two in the first round, but they're after number 18.
Yeah.
That to me, again, where's your center? You're going to get a lineup of 2Cs. That's to me, that doesn't
at best,
equate.
Really?
That doesn't equate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I could accept that, Manny. That track that you just laid out, I could accept it. I think that they need to be more aggressive than that. But yeah, I mean, that's fine if they want to, if they're capable of getting that high. But then there's also going to be a little bit of time before that, you know, number 6 overall pick 1C starts getting in stride and can contribute at that 1C level with the current team. It'll still take a couple of years, but I can get on board with that. I could potentially see that. Again, I think you're right on in terms of they're just going to be drafting probably too low to obtain a player of that caliber sans, you know, finding that needle in the haystack. And all of a sudden, you know, the guy they chose in the second round turns out to be dynamite in year 2 of his NHL career. So like, and they're banking on that.
Yeah.
You know, they're banking on being able to find that needle in the haystack. I don't know why the
Barkey
fuck he
going
to
be their guy.
Yeah. I mean, it's like
whoever they draft, like, 30th overall this year with the Florida pick is going to be their guy.
It's just so ass backwards. Like, yes, it is extremely helpful to be able to obtain a player like that in that position of a draft. But that's a bonus when you do that. You don't bank your team on hitting on that. And if you don't hit on it, then they're inadequate. No, you need to do everything else. And then if you hit on that, great. All of a sudden we have a Braden Point type of player and we're even better than we thought we were going to be. But it just doesn't work like that. It's fucking weird.
Yeah. It's. I don't know. I don't know what their strategy is moving forward, but I think they're setting themselves up for some problems. And I hope they do something this summer. And you know, we talked about this on the last batch of recordings. Like, that's I want a move this summer that just indicates a direction, whether they sell Konechny and something crazy like that and they actually give this rebuilding a try, or if they're not doing that and they want to win, then bring me one player that's like a star. Give me one top 6 guy to prove that the organization wants to win. I think if they just run it back largely in its entirety and they just rearrange a couple of these deck chairs here, I don't know, man. I'm going to be very disappointed that they run it back, you know, in its entirety, because it's just, I don't think this is going to work twice. You know, with this hard-working, 82-game bullshit playoff formats, it's just not going to work.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to see him be more aggressive this summer too, Dan. If they think that they have, that they've struck gold with this roster and that they have established this dynamite culture and, you know, their system works and everybody's buying in, fine. Then go out and be aggressive this summer and figure out how to bring in some players. Like, don't just sit back and say, well, that was nice and we'll see what happens next year. No, like, I want them to do something in a, you know, in a certain direction here and not just sit back and hope and pray that it happens again.